Next item, 1173.
Authorize the commissioner in charge of the police bureau to order content-neutral time, place, and manner regulations for demonstrations held in the city.
Colleagues, this is a second reading of a non-emergency ordinance. We've already heard a presentation and taken extensive testimony on this item. Anything else for the good of the order before I call the roll? Chief, anything else you want to say? Please call the roll.
Hugh Daly.
I want to thank the police chief, her command staff, and the city attorney for answering my questions last week. My office received the written responses to these questions yesterday. We have submitted them to the council clerk, so they will become a part of the record, and we will post them on our website and push the link out through social media so the public can read them as well. For members of the public who were surprised by my line of questioning last week or expressed, gratitude that I was finally addressing this issue, I want to explain that this was an extremely rare opportunity for us to have a public dialogue with the police bureau and the city attorney, that this is actually nothing new for me. I just haven't had a chance to really speak about it publicly. As I mentioned previously, these questions were generated by myself, my office staff, constituents, and advocacy organizations. I asked them with multiple intentions. First and foremost, because these are questions that Portland activists have been waiting years and sometimes decades to hear the answer to. Secondly, to illustrate the many concerns I have with this ordinance. And finally, to give the police bureau an opportunity to clarify possible points of misunderstanding with the public. I also want to go on record as saying that I believe the mayor and the police chief have good intentions with this ordinance. Even if they can't be as explicit as I can, I know that they want to stop right-wing extremists from disrupting our city and threatening our residents as much as I do. And I also know that many of our officers are committed to this objective as well. However, because of how existing policies have been and are being applied, I cannot vote to expand their powers. We are trapped in a dangerous dynamic between right-wing extremists, counter-protesters, and police with no clear path forward. This poses a threat to public safety, and there is a growing frustration among the public that we can't seem to manage these protests effectively. I share their frustrations, and I agree that something must change. However, this is not an issue that can be solved by policing alone. We need advocacy organizations to step up, to continue to step up, and offer us meaningful policy solutions and community supports. We need a concerted community effort to shut these right-wing extremists down. Yes, they have constitutional rights that must be protected regardless of how repugnant we find their beliefs, but businesses have the choice of who they choose to serve, and if these groups don't meet their community standards, they shouldn't be helping them peddle hate, raise money, print t-shirts, or publish websites. And if they do meet their community standards, we shouldn't support them with our business. Nationalists, bigots, racists, and fascists are not protected classes. We need our colleagues at every level of government to speak out against hate, and specifically the hate groups who are targeting our city. And we need the media to bring an objective and critical eye to these matters to better help the public understand the issues that we're contending with. Our policies, I'm going to repeat something I said last week because I think it bears repeating. Our policies in our police bureau may have to be content neutral, but I don't have to remain neutral in my remarks. Right-wing extremists pose a greater threat to our national security than ISIS. This is not my personal opinion. This is a fact known by federal law enforcement. Counter-protesters are not the problem. They're a byproduct of the problem, and I'm grateful to the thousands of Portland residents who've engaged in peaceful protest in opposition to this administration, in opposition to the global rise of fascism, and in opposition to homegrown racism and bigotry. I am very concerned about the false equivalencies being made between right-wing extremists and left-wing counter-protesters, both inside and outside of this building. There's a tendency to paint all counter-protesters with the same brush based on the worst actors, when people committing violence and vandalism are a tiny minority of the overall resistance playing out on our streets. And when that behavior is often provoked by the police bureau's crowd control tactics. Counter-protesters occupy a broad spectrum of the left, from moderates to radicals, and the vast majority of them are peaceful. Yet I often hear them all characterized as lawless anarchists. I would expect a more nuanced understanding of left-wing protesters than the antiquated caricatures of the bomb-throwing anarchist. Anarchism at its heart is a political philosophy based on mutual aid and direct democracy, autonomous individuals working together for the greater good in a non-hierarchical system. It is not an inherently violent belief system and, in fact, has a strong tradition of nonviolence and pacifism. I'll take anarchists over fascists any day. Over the past 27 years, since I started attending rallies, marches, and protests, I have personally witnessed police brutality and excessive use of force. I have friends who have been victims of it and have sued the city and won settlements. I was part of a group of activists being illegally surveilled by the Portland police in the 1990s. I'm not taking this stroll down memory lane for fun or street cred. I'm painting a picture of my perspective as an activist, observer, and now policymaker. We have a policing problem when it comes to protests, but it's not just the protesters. We have each taken an oath to uphold the constitutions of the United States, the state of Oregon, and the city of Portland Charter. We have a moral and legal obligation to defend the constitutional rights of everyone, regardless of whether we agree with their politics, speech, tactics, or strategies. We also have a moral and legal obligation to ensure the public safety. There is a balance to be struck here. Unfortunately, I do not believe this ordinance achieves it. I look forward to continued communication and collaboration with advocates and activists, my colleagues, and the Portland Police Bureau on how to best achieve our obligations and ensure public safety. But with all due respect to the mayor and the police chief, I vote no.
Thank you.
Fritz.
Thank you to everybody who took time to testify during last week's hearing, including Representative Janelle Bynum, Andrew Hone of Portland Business Alliance, Steve Falstick of Travel Portland, Kimberly McCullough from ACLU Oregon, Beth Wooten of the Portland National Lawyers Guild, Commissioner-elect Joanne Hardesty, and many others. Thank you, Chief Outlaw, for listening to all the testimony in person and for being here today to hear our comments in person. Thank you to my staff for helping with this response to the mayor's proposal, especially Cynthia Castro and Tim Crail. And thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for listening to feedback and amending the ordinance to make it much improved from the original proposal. Even so, I cannot support this ordinance. Oregon and the Pacific Northwest have been strongholds of white supremacy for over two centuries. The city of Portland has a long and shameful history of discrimination, hate crimes, and racism. This is unacceptable and must end. White supremacists are not welcome in Portland, and the City Council should make that clear in every decision we make. Violence during demonstrations is a community issue that has threatened public safety, resources, our economy, and our reputation as a safe and welcoming city. This is a community issue that requires community engagement and buy-in to address. From its very beginning as a state, Oregon has normalized hate speech and emboldened individuals to act on their hostility towards marginalized communities. Now, vitriolic rhetoric at the national level is further inciting violence all over our country. We can point to many examples, such as the tragedies that took place in Pittsburgh and Kentucky last month, in Charlottesville last year, and in the Max incident that occurred right here in 2017. It is all too familiar as we remember the murder of Ethiopian immigrant Mulugeta Serah 30 years ago. Thank you to the Urban League of Portland for commemorating the anniversary with an inspiring conference yesterday. And thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Udaly, for joining me there. We must counter hatred and divisiveness with love and unity. With a policy that proposes to tell people how, when, and where they can protest, the community must be engaged and listened to in forming a proposal. This did not happen before the ordinance was proposed, and the ordinance should not be the starting point for these conversations. We need to convene discussions with stakeholders such as business owners, the Portland Police Bureau, and the ACLU to develop reasonable, specific mechanisms to reduce problems at protests. The ACLU has already signaled their desire to help, as has the Western States Center, the Council on American Islamic Relations of Oregon, and the Oregon Justice Resource Center. There are alternative solutions. We can support counter demonstrations that draw attention away from white supremacists rather than feeding into their quest for an audience and a fight. Lawyers will debate whether this ordinance is constitutional. Arguing about the restrictions in court when they may not even help much on the ground is not wise use of taxpayers' money. The regulations distract attention from the underlying problem. There have already been protests about the protest ordinance, and more may happen if it passes. We need unity and compassion in Portland right now, not more arguing amongst ourselves. This ordinance seeks to address the problem of violence at demonstrations by giving the mayor the authority to tell Portlanders and others what to do, with the Portland police then charged with enforcing those rules as well as existing laws on criminal and misdemeanor behaviors. The problem we are addressing today is not disparate treatment by Portland police. The problem is that white supremacy has been woven into the fabric of our community for far too long, and we are faced again with the rise in hate speech by white supremacists leading to violence and protests at protests and in our community. That's where we need to focus our energy. As we grapple with the violence on our streets, the nation watches us. The proposed ordinance is not an accurate reflection of who we are as a city. Let us show our community and the nation that we are resilient, that when Portlanders come together, we are a force to be reckoned with, that violence will not be tolerated, and both perpetrators and instigators will be held accountable. To do this, we first need to do another thing that Portlanders do well: talk with each other and listen to each other. I'm confident Portlanders can help the council define better solutions than this. No.
Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, after careful consideration, I cannot support this ordinance. But I want to begin this morning with where we agree. Everyone should be welcome in our public square. Hate, bigotry, and violence have no place in our community. And it's long overdue that we all link arms and say to the Proud Boys, Patriot Prayer, and those who would bring hate into our community, stay home. Protecting public safety is one of our basic obligations. Any limits on the rights of free speech and public assembly protected in our state and federal constitution are subject to heightened legal scrutiny. In general, government must establish that those limits are a last resort. There's been too much violence during recent protests, especially instigated by members of alt-right groups using Portland as a staging ground. These events have taken precious resources out of other neighborhoods, leaving East Portland and other areas without the services they, like all of us, help fund and deserve. They also have a consequence for our goals around community policing. My vote today is based on several factors. First, I have concerns about the constitutionality of the protest ordinance. At the very least, it sets us up for a costly and divisive legal battle. Second, I'm not convinced that we've done everything we can with the tools already at our disposal. That includes arresting people who violate our laws. Third, I am encouraged by the offers we have received from civil liberties and civil rights organizations to develop a new approach to address the alt-right violence in our streets. This is a close call for me. The mayor, as police commissioner, is entitled to a certain amount of deference. And I'm grateful to Mayor Wheeler for beginning this conversation. He's right to focus on solutions to the unacceptable violence on our streets and the rising tide of hate and intolerance of a vocal minority. And he has made real progress pursuing the police reform agenda on which he ran for office. At the same time, I cannot ignore the many community voices that have raised fair concerns with this approach and have offered to be part of a different solution. My vote is not a referendum on the job Chief Outlaw is doing. She has the hardest job in local government, and she deserves our respect and our support. Nor is it a commentary on the women and men in uniform who serve and protect our city. They too deserve our respect and support. Rather, it reflects my sincere ambivalence with this path forward and my belief that other alternatives will be more successful. I am grateful to the many community leaders who shared their perspective during this debate. I'm proud of the conversation that we've had among colleagues on this dais, but today I vote no.
Saltzman.
Excuse me, folks. You know, Mr. Walsh, you're here a lot. You know the rules, please.
I know the rules.
Yes, sir. Mr. Walsh, if you continue. All right, we'll take a recess.